show had awards, he would be given a gold for being second. Just imagine it, okay? It's the Second Funniest Podcast with Kevin Miller and Justin Worsham. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello, and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode 514. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the man that does not need a simulation to run his own city, thekevinmiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Sam sounds really annoyed in that one. He was like,
well, I think
probably the last one he made, and he's like, ugh.
I don't know. They're listed here alphabetically. So, yeah, I would agree with that assessment. If we were to, I wonder if I can see like a date created. No, that's just when I brought it into my computer. So
what day was that?
That would be on January 23rd, 2013 at 5:27 p.m.
That was a hard day for Sam.
Oh, wait, there's another one at February 26th?
See?
Oh, so I must have, he sent us different ones, I think, or something.
That was probably, he was probably tapped.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. He sounds tapped.
Yeah.
He's done.
It's fair that we judge him on this thing he does for us for free. But in, awesome. In our defense, we do this for free as well.
Yeah, so shut up.
I looked at, by the way, because it's tax time and Daddy got audited like he always does, and I looked at how much it cost me to do podcasts. Depressing.
Oh.
Depressing.
Do I owe you money?
No.
You buy so much gear.
No, if I look back to the last, like, since it started, easily... I don't know. It's just, do you think this is an overshare if I say this to people?
No,
I don't want it. Here's what I don't sound. I don't want to sound like a pity party. I'm not. Yeah. But I just thought it was interesting.
Here's the thing. People are way too protective over what kind of money they make.
I'm not.
Yeah.
$2,300
is how much it's spent?
Cost me year to date.
Oh, okay.
And
That's a hobby, though, if you think of it in that way, which it is.
Yeah, for 4 years, that's not bad.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Think of how much money you spend on games. More than that?
Oh, I didn't look.
Mm.
I didn't look. I should look. Mm. I could look during this episode.
Thanks to the magic of technology.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, too.
Pause. Toby, our good friend Toby, who's good friends with Sam as well.
He wants us to do his podcast. Did I tell you that?
Oh, no.
Yeah. We should have production com meetings.
Yeah, well, mine is production com meetings as well. Is he's like, you guys need to enable those premium episodes. He said he dropped $3 on a dad's episode without even thinking about it.
Yes.
And, you know, you and I, whenever we've discussed having premium episodes on this show, have always said, well, the people who are listening to the show can't afford it, but the people who listen to your other show, the dad show, they have disposable income. I think we may have that backwards. Because if, you know, if people that are listening to this are not middle-aged white guys and they're playing video games in their own garages, thank you very much, I rent this triplex, then they're going to be people with disposable income.
As you hear an airplane flapping.
Yeah, no, it's perfect timing.
Yeah.
I hope you can hear how close to the airport.
Hopefully soon we'll have a podcast studio.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, with a barbecue outside it.
And then I'll have to press a button to make the airplane fly over. so maybe they are. Maybe we missed the boat. We should have made that show with Matt and Chris $3 ahead.
Oh!
You know, or if we get Nolan North back on here, charge them $3.
I was going to, because that was my guess, was that I was like, well, here's why I did it with the dad podcast, is that it's with the old host who can't do it anymore because he wants to make money. So I knew that old listeners might want to hear it. I appreciate Toby because I don't think he's a father. I think he's just maybe a fan
just
of
a
mine.
Kid, which is the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So can you buy it in an app? Can you make a premium episode in an app and listen to the dad? Because I know the podcasts are an app, right? You can make a podcast
You
app.
Can make an app out of a podcast.
Can you make premium episodes right there? Like, how easy can it be for us to dip into someone's wallet and take
I don't know how to... this probably isn't the best thing to talk about on an episode.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to do it within an app. The reason I could do it is that I have a service that I use for my stand-up that allows me to create merchandise. As with most things with stand-up, like MySpace, that eventually was used by comedians, it's intended for musicians. And this thing that I have
lets me... Wasn't that the proto-Facebook? Wasn't that where I was supposed to see pictures of girls taking selfies?
Yeah, sure. I don't know.
Selfies is the word you
I know
use
that.
You...
Oh, okay. I know that. That might be an overshare.
Go on.
But so anyway, my point was is that I have this service that lets me upload just about anything, like a PDF or, in this case, a digital file, an audio file, and I could charge whatever I want for it. They take a little bit of a cut, and then I get the rest.
Fascinating.
And so I'm trying to do a premium model with the Dad Podcast to be able to do that, to make a little coin, because Daddy might have a mortgage coming up here.
Man.
And
he's got a lot. You know, people who refer to themselves in the third person. They're not usually
NBA players.
Yes, and same Venn diagram circle.
Not
crazy.
Crazy. Really?
Yeah.
What does it mean when I do it humorously? Like, I don't do it in personal conversation. Oh, I do kind of. And yeah, when I'm talking, I go, daddy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
I'm a little crazy.
It's a little... I'm going to look that up.
I spent $2,300 on podcasts. I gotta be,
How much have you made on podcasts?
That's a good question. Let's see. Podcast income.
Oh, I thought you were looking at a playlist in iTunes.
Look.
100%.
Zero. But I think it's because...
those are some wacky bar graphs.
Here we go.
The bat signal.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was just for the web fees. $2,100 just for like web stuff.
$21,000?
I've made to date $150.81 off of the Second Funniest Podcast.
Rolling in.
And, but the podcasting in general, I think, has cost me. That might be an overshare. To date, I've made $1,500 off of the Dad Podcast.
What?
Which is cut into that. That's why that number of 17 of 2,000. So really, it's cost me to do podcasting closer to 3,000. But the Dad Podcast.
Well, this has been our tax episode.
Yeah.
Of the Second Funniest Podcast.
Yeah, can you tell? Can you tell? It's April, and that's happening.
Can feel it.
I need to figure out my total time, my amount spent on games. What were we going to do last year?
Oh. Have we done that? What?
Yeah, I want to say. Well,
you
want
to figure out how much money you've spent. Oh, I see it.
Yeah.
Just give me your 2012 total spent on games.
Okay, so 2012, I might have to create.
Mine. It's like $60 because I had a kid, and my wife quit her job.
I don't think I can do it easily on 2012. I'll do it for the next episode. Or is it worth hitting pause? It would take me like 2 minutes.
Two minutes
of typing. Unless you want to talk about something.
Hit pause. Okay. We'll be back after this.
All right. Okay. What is this that you're playing while we're coming back to this?
This is what we're eventually going to get to.
Oh, okay.
SimCity.
So, total 2012, Daddy spent on video games $1,786.83. Now, I want this to be known that this also includes a credit for games that I have sold on eBay. So, I potentially have spent more than that.
Yeah.
And because what I do is I record the money I make off of the game sale on eBay as a credit on that expense category. That's how I do it because I'm anal that way.
So what's the bottom line then?
$1,786.83 in 2012 were spent on entertainment video games.
Wow, that's impressive.
You want to comparing that to movies?
Yeah.
$1,168.39 spent on movies.
Is that movie tickets or
that could
DVDs?
Be movie tickets. That's DVD purchases. That could even be movies that I bought for my kid, which is probably why that number is so high.
That's probably it.
Comic books, $51.75.
Why didn't you buy comic books?
Digital comic books all the time. I'm reading the new 52 Green Lantern and the Green Lantern Corps. That's pretty much all I'm steady on. And then I'll pick up an occasional new 52 Batman for Jacob.
Yeah, that's
Hulk.
Pretty great. I got those.
So I've been checking those out to read to Jacob. But you said also to check cable.
Yeah, to cable.
My total spent on cable, $2,256.11 in 2012.
That's it. We since Kat has stayed home with the baby, we've just been on financial crunch.
Yeah.
So one of the quickest places that made the most sense, that was hard to let go of, was cable. And like calling them and getting them to release, it's impossible. Like their teeth are so dug into you when you have cable. And they're like, now are you sure you wouldn't want to hear from us if we could figure out a way to save money on this and still give you the service. So it was like, I need to trim $150 out of this budget. You think you can still give me cable for that? I'm all ears.
Let's do it.
And the guy's like, I wouldn't be able to do that. Yeah. And so he pushes back again. I was like, listen, you're asking me to pay for something that's completely free.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how you can force my hand in this way. So he eventually gives up. We trimmed $150 out of this. So now we have nothing but internet. Now, we had a lot of services. We had several DVR boxes that all synced with each other. We didn't have any premium cable channels anymore, but we were spending, like, we thought it was something that we needed. And when we got rid of it, we mourned it and mourned it. And then I realized about 24 hours later, the percentage of time, which there's no way you can run this on your report, of how often you use the things that you purchase.
That you pay for.
And, like, $3,000 for cable, are you using $3,000 a year worth of cable? In our case, we were not. Because the moment we got rid of it, we were like, you know, I watch a handful of kids' programs, and she watches The Bachelor. Everything else, we literally would be like, cable, let's go to Netflix. Mm-hmm. Get out of here. We bought Hulu Plus for $7 a month, and that's our new cable, and we still get all the live shows on a DVR we don't have to manage anymore, and it gets every show that is out there that's within
on demand.
On demand.
With unlimited space.
Yeah, and I don't have to think about a thing. Now, there are shows that are missing because they don't have every network, and they don't have every, so there are limitations, but the truth is...
Yeah, but that's a $10 problem. You're saving $150.
Exactly, that I'll wait a few months till it shows up on Netflix. I would rather... If I have an evening to myself, the truth is I'd rather watch a movie that I have on my shelf, zap a new movie, or even better than all of those options, play a video game.
Yep.
That's where I'd rather spend my money.
Well, and that's why, I mean, I still have the Netflix streaming that I pay for, but that's why I downgraded, because I realized that since Natalie and I had kids, we can't get the DVDs.
Yeah.
We don't have time to sit down and watch DVDs, and so I was paying $60 a month to have 7 DVDs out.
All right.
And I'm like, that's goofy. So I just went down to the streaming because I like to be able to watch TV shows that they had there.
Thanks,
but now they've upgraded that. Now they've, like... It's amazing what's available on Netflix. Amazing.
So much.
And you and I are guys that don't even know what's on Roku and how you can manage that and all that stuff. Like, so.
By the way, Justin has lent us his Netflix account. He'll do the same for you if you ask. The other night we tried to get on, and it said there were too many people using the account at this point. you can't press play on anything. But
it should
hour
be
late,
just you and I.
And one other person.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't know if that...
That's smart that they limited it, because I was like, who's to say...
Exactly.
Like, because I thought if I was struggling, I would say, listen, here, everybody kick down $2. Yeah. I got your Netflix. Who's to say how many people I give that to?
Well, apparently,
next thing you know, they're paying
limit
for my cable.
Yeah. Well, way to go, Tom Sawyer.
Yeah. Well, if I think about it, I could pyramid scheme it, and I could have... If I could get, you know, 6 people... to pay for one Netflix account, I could create multiple Netflix accounts and maybe turn enough of a profit to be able to pay for my cable.
That's a lot of work, but awesome. Yeah. It kind of hurts my head a little. A
little bit.
So my recommendation, get rid of cable.
All right.
Buy video games.
I'm going to do it.
That's where it comes down to.
I'm going to shut down everything. Although next year, we're going to be very... When we get into this house that we're trying to purchase, you, my friend, are going to be very happy because Daddy's going to get some NFL Sunday tickets.
Oh, are you serious?
So you'll be able to enjoy your Patriots games.
We're going to watch them on television. Okay.
Yeah.
not go to, like, a game.
What did you think NFL Sunday ticket meant?
Just, like,
go like to a season pass?
Yeah, to all the games.
I can't afford that animal. I wish.
Question about that. Can you have multiple TVs in the same room?
Connected to watch the NFL Sunday ticket?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I think I can maybe
figure it out.
We should definitely go sports bar on this. If you're going to do it right, and we get 2 TVs in there so you can have multiple football games happening simultaneously.
If it costs me a dime more, I will not do it. I can tell you that right now.
Well, what if I bring my
TV
over?
Sunday, you always have to work, and you come over later, so the games are TiVo'd anyway.
Good point.
Yeah.
What if I quit my job?
Then we'll talk.
Just for this.
To open a sports bar in my backyard?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll definitely
talk. It's called Justin's Wings.
That's going to involve some kind of strong backhand and some kind of conversation about you have a child. That's going to be involved.
But wings.
Oh, wings. You're going to make wings?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to dig a hole in your backyard.
All right.
And throw them in a burlap sack.
We're
going to
get some Newcastle on tap. I like this.
We should open a bar.
That's always my go-to. This is probably the worst episode we've ever done.
It's been my favorite so far.
I'm having a good time, too. But my go-to whenever I get tired of, like, struggling to try and do comedy and everything, whenever I think, oh, man, there's nothing that's going to come out of it. What if it's all for nothing, you know, kind of thing? My go-to is, like, I just want to open a pizzeria. Like, that's always my go-to is that.
Really?
I'll just do that.
You think the greener side of the hill is a pizzeria. Troubles of a pizzeria are easier than the life that you have.
Well, that's, I think everybody has that thing because we're human beings and wired that way. But I'm sure there has to be something. But for me, that would be just like, I could settle in to do a pizzeria because I love pizza, number one. And I feel like it's really easy to make a good pizza. You just have to care. and not do it in a cheap fashion.
Yeah, and then charge accordingly. People will follow.
It's so
funny because whenever I'm like, I'm ready to cash out, I think I should go work in a third world country. Because here's the why. Because it's like I leave all of this behind. So all like cable, driveways, airplane, like that all becomes a laughable first world problem joke. Like, oh, really? Oh, that's so sad. So I would walk in. Cock of the walk in any country. I could go to Mexico. They're like, oh, señor.
Because of the, however, like 10 grand you have saved.
The amount of money I have, I live like
you
a millionaire.
Live like a king.
And have whatever I want, eat in the finest of
That's
restaurants.
Funny, because when you said third world country, I was like, you know, I have entertained that idea of that. I wonder if I would truly be happier to live like a Bushman. And I think this is an interesting question to put out to video gamers, because we are people who are severely connected to technology for our entertainment.
Yeah.
And that there is this element that I kind of think of that it's like, what if we just had conversation? You know what I mean? Like,
you're hurting me.
What if we just grew our own
mind? What do you think this is?
Conversation about technology, though. You see what I'm saying?
With technology in our faces.
Exactly.
Like, you're a hypocrite.
I'm not saying that I'm doing it now. I'm just saying that what would that do to something? Like, I'm somebody who heavily leans on technology. If that show Revolution were to happen to me, that's kind of what got me into this mentality. Have you watched Revolution at all? Since
I'm excited to. It needs to show up on Netflix before I can watch it.
No, you have the antenna. You could get it on.
I don't like commercials. I'd rather wait till the spring or whenever it's going to roll onto Netflix, and then I just watch them all at once. Why am I hurting your head?
Because I was just thinking, like, what if I got you a TiVo box that could hook up to your antenna?
Don't exist.
Really?
I looked into that. They don't exist.
You have to pay for the service.
You have to have
TiVo?
A subscription. Yeah. Outside of just like a security DVR that I'd have to set like a timer on it, like an old school VCR.
All right, buckle up.
Yep.
What if I got you a VCR?
Still sitting over there?
I have a VCR that I'm not using.
I have that. I have a digital DVR, DVD. I have a commercial grade DVD recorder. So I could hook that up and do all the same like nonsense as before. I hadn't thought of that. Maybe I should tell my wife about that.
No, don't do
that. You know, it's not an HD. That's why. It's before
not
HD.
Worth it.
Not worth it. You know, I'm telling you, HD antennas, cleaner signal than my cable box.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculously
clean. When I stole that TV from Best Buy to watch the Super Bowl, I was all it was an antenna. I was like, holy crap.
So much better.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm paying for you to tear up the ground and throw fiber optic cables under it, and you can't bring me as good as a signal as a technology that has been around since 1919.
Here's a kicker. We have an issue with the Cartoon Network at 1:30 every day, and I called to the Charter company. I was like, I didn't know it was at 1:30 every day. I just noticed that. I thought it was because I was watching Cartoon Network, and then it would just cut out.
Yeah.
And then there's an automated thing that says that due to sun flares, the Cartoon Network channel specifically is affected between 1:30 and 2 o'clock by the satellite. So my cable signal is brought to me by satellite.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know
that? And I was angry that I didn't think of that. Like, I was, because in my mind I was like, how can the signal come from satellite and yet you judge DirecTV as being lesser than what you are?
Because that's so fast. Here's my degree. Finally, it's useful.
Oh, here we go.
Cable is satellite.
I can see the money rolling in. I'm going to make this comes, 2 grand back so quick.
I'm going to impress you with all my knowledge. It all started because there's some town out in the middle of nowhere where they couldn't get satellite signals down in the valley. Mm-hmm. And so this guy propped up a satellite on top of his hill.
And then ran cable
And
to
then
it.
Ran cable down below and they buy subscriptions from it. And that's how it all grew from there.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right, because satellite TV was really big. Mm-hmm. I remember when you'd have those 5-foot dishes, for those of you kids that are listening. It used to not be an 18-inch dish that you would easily mount with a kit to the side of your house. It had to have a pole.
And it was finite because the satellite signal was super weak coming from outer space.
And everybody
put effect on that later?
Yeah. Probably not. But my dad, everybody thought my dad was amazing because he knew how to, like, my grandfather got a satellite because he needed it. We didn't have a satellite, but my grandfather had one. But my grandfather didn't know anything about it. My dad did. My dad came out and pointed the satellite and, like, called the cable guy off. Because what would happen is they'd come in and they'd install it.
Right.
And then you have to call the guy to come out to point it and figure everything out. And my dad, this is what I always love about my dad. My dad always showed me that usually whatever, no offense to those guys, and I know that they have a skill set, but my dad said, if that's something that somebody who could do with a GED, that means anybody could do it. Like, was always my dad's mentality. Yeah. So he's like, I'm sure that it's automated to where I could figure out, because the real brains put together the box that translates the signal.
That makes it so GE.
And then they have to walk it through and make it like a Windows-based thing so they could go tell them what to do on each step, and then it has to be easy. So my dad just went over there and kind of figured it out, taught himself how to point a satellite, and then like 10 years later, 15 years later, got a job redirecting because there was a satellite that they were taking out of commission for Dish Network and DirecTV. So my dad had this job getting paid like $500 to go... like,
oh, nice.
To move a satellite. He had a little piece of equipment that he bought, this like $3,000 piece of equipment. I'm like, why are you spending so much on this goofy part-time job? He goes, because it saves me like 8 minutes, and then I could do two or three more in a day. And he goes, I make up the money like that. It's so quick. And then he got like, he found out that I was taking credit cards on my cell phone. So he used that because they were just paying him. They weren't actually paying DirecTV. They would pay DirecTV.
Dad's such
an
entrepreneur.
Yeah, he is smart about that stuff. But anyway, speaking of entrepreneur, speaking of building your own.
You should make your own city.
Yes.
Out of all the jobs I've had, being mayor is the first. It's not all kissing hands and shaking babies.
I love that line.
I can't swim, so I built a bunch of bridges. I fire rockets for no reasons. I got nerd turbines for less oilier, more windier power. Sewage plant next to the water supply. I never look back on my way to the top. Because I'm a shark, and sharks can't turn their heads. Your city, your way.
Rated everyone, 10 and up.
They're like, we want Jack back, but we don't want to pay for Jack Black.
No, this guy, do you know who that is?
He looks familiar.
He's Adam Devine, and he's kind of an up-and-coming comedy actor. He created the show Workaholics. They had a YouTube channel called Mail Order Comedy, and it became this big hit that Comedy Central came to them and said, hey, we want to give you guys your own show. And now he's in his third season.
Nice.
He's been in a couple feature films, and this is his first commercial
I've
that I'm aware
before,
of.
Yeah.
But he's a very funny dude, and I kind of know him through a friend of a friend.
Oh,
of
you
a
know
comic.
Him personally?
I don't know him personally. I know a friend of his that grew up with him in Omaha, Nebraska, and then used to live out here with him, but then had to move back home to get married and help take care of his soon-to-be wife's kid, I guess, or whatever. It's his stepkid. And he was doing the right thing, and then that's when everything blew up for this other guy in LA kind of thing. And so he helps that guy, brings him out to do like stuff on Comedy Central for stand-up, and has cast him in a couple spots on Workaholics and
stuff.
He's
very funny.
So, yeah, and he's a very nice guy from what I understand.
Did it make you want to play the game?
It did. That's
why. Really?
That's why I brought this up, is that when I thought,
where are we?
I know.
What is happening to you?
Well, I've always liked the SimCity games. Remember when I bought the old one for my Mac, because that was the only one that you could play on the Mac? But it's weird. Like, I play it for a little bit, and then I go, I don't know why, but I just kind of, I fall off. Okay. And that's what I want to talk to you, because I know you're huge. Like you even know the guy, Meyer or something. What's the guy, Sid Meier?
Sid Meier's, no, that's not him.
Oh, it's not?
Will Wright is the guy.
Well, really?
Sid Meier's is the inventor of Civilization. That's what he's known for.
Okay.
I don't know who did it first, Will Wright or Sid Meier's or some other game creator, but like in that genre of games, it's always somebody's this game. Remember when we had Nate Fox on, he even mentioned Randy Kurzinski or whatever the guy's first name, and we were both like, who with the what now? Because all strategy-based games have to be written by a signature game by so-and-so that you don't know who they are, but that's just part of that world.
That's interesting. I always thought that it was Sid Meier that came up with this concept of simulating like cities or the Sims.
Civilization is turn-based, like Strategio.
Oh, okay.
One of those where you start with a civilization, you choose like Lincoln in America, or you can be Attila the Hun or some Aztec, and you are neighboring people, and then you build a civilization and build cities. But it's all turn-based, but it's all in a computer game, so it's like a board game that's extremely blown up. SimCity, Will Wright, who made SimCity, Sims. Spore, all those, and has since left. He's not a part of this project anymore. He actually works in a think tank. The man's a genius.
I believe it. I believe it.
You know, if you listen to the last game he really produced was Spore, and just to hear him talk about like his vision for games and his ability to think through games, he's like a Michael Crichton of the gaming world, where he kind of bridges the gap between art and science in this really weird way. How Michael Crichton, author of Jurassic Park and all those, was too much scientist for creative people and too creative for scientists. Mm-hmm. Like, he would walk that line and end up being hated by everybody. Will Wright did the opposite. he's not dead.
Very
Michael
likeable.
Crichton is dead.
Rest his soul. Rest his soul.
Oh, poor Kevin Blackton.
Yeah. Oh, are they buried next to each other, him and Will
I think
Wright?
So, probably.
Should be. Put together. So
what draws you to this? Like, this is, I got to capitalize on this and get you a PC game.
Tonight. I like this. Well, that was going to be the deal breakers if I found out that it was not on Mac or whatever.
Oh, it's on Mac.
I'm not going to do the, boot camp.
No. You could do Origin on here, can't you?
I don't know. But anyway, what I like about it is there's something. Here's the thing. I'm business-minded. You know what I mean? Like, this is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm kind of, I don't, not to claim to be the same level as these guys, but I do kind of feel like in the stand-up world, I'm not creative enough to be like a stand-up that people watch and instantly go, we got to give this guy a television show. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not edgy enough. But at the same time, because I'm very business-oriented with my stand-up, like that stuff kind of makes sense to me. But I think I crave creative outlets so much that I can't just start a business and just do a business that isn't creative oriented, you know, if that makes sense.
Totally, yeah.
So that kind of plays into, for the same reason that L.A. Noire played into my fantasy of becoming a cop, that you quickly shot in the foot when you said, when you reminded me that it was built for me to succeed. Like, I was like, oh, dang it.
Like most games.
But anyway, that this idea that it's like, I wonder if I could really design a functioning, like, city. Like, is that something that I could easily wrap my mind around? And but there's something that gets in the way of that mechanical part that I wanted to satiate in this game. That I think it's the game part. That's the only thing I can think of. Because I'm only interested. There's a part of me that needs it to be thing where there's goals that I need to achieve.
Oh gosh!
But
it's
at
like
the same
they had
time,
you in a study group, or,
right?
What's those called?
Focus
group.
Way that they do it is that, like, here's what there's two different modes, at least in the SimCity game I played. There's the mode where you could just build a city and it's free play, right? But then there's the other mode where it's like, okay, we give you these cities that are kind of starting, or they have these parameters, and you have to fix these issues, and these are the goals you need to achieve in so much time and without spending this much money. And neither one of those, I need that, like, a cross breed between those
and
two.
And that's what the SimCity is.
That's what I was hoping you would
neither
say.
One of those are the functioning gameplay. There's only one gameplay mode now, and that's build a city. Mm-hmm. And they're in a region. So the way it works... like Christian, who's been on our show before, he has a very great Let's Just Play on his city that I suggest you watch, because he starts from the very beginning, and it's really entertaining to watch a friend of yours bungle through a very complicated game, especially one that, if you're me, I knew very
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, and he knew that not that he's thought I'm better than him, but I know the game because I've spent countless hours playing. I'm like, no, you're... But he has his own style of play and such. So definitely watch it. But you start. So he created a region, and it auto populates all the stuff inside it. So there's maybe there's 8 blocks in it, and then some of them have water running through them. Some of them have an existing highway that run through them. Some of them have existing railways. Some of them, and it'll tell you before you choose a region, have a lot of oil, or have a lot of coal, or have a certain natural, a lot of wind. A natural resource to them. You choose, and you can set the difficulty level, though I think they're all pretty much the same. And then you plop down in the middle of the city, and it began, like, the city, the region or the city that you choose is small comparatively. Like, if you remember with the older versions of SimCity, you could choose kind of the tile size of it. This is, they're all the same. And you go, oh, I must have chosen a small one. But later you learn why. So very quickly you get rewarded pretty easily, and it's simple to put together the cities. But the big shift from every other SimCity game isn't that it starts in the year 1900. For several iterations of the game, it always starts in the year 1900. This time it's like... It's sort of a timeless era that you don't have to wait for technology.
I like that idea. I like that the idea of you being able to go, oh, hey, what am I going to do?
Yeah, it's open to however you play and whatever you develop. And it's so much more intuitive. So the goals come from how you play. As you play, it kind of sees what you're doing and goes, oh, Are you an oil city? It looks like you're building a lot of oil because you had oil in your town. Are you going to become an oil tycoon? If you want to, here are the mission objectives. Are you interested in taking this mission on? And then you say, yeah, boom. Then it tells you, here are the things you need to do to become an oil tycoon city.
So it's like secondary missions in Mass Effect or even in Assassin's Creed.
And it helps move
you
forward.
To take them.
Exactly. It helps you move forward. And they could be all sorts of things like, oh, it sees you building a lot of schools. Are we going to be the number one educated city in the region? Here are some goals to make that happen. Hmm. And they're long standing. Like, it's like, get this many people in school so then you can build this thing. Mm-hmm. On top of all that, you work together in group goals. That's why you have to be on a server at all points in time to play the game. More on that in a moment. So you and I would be in the same region, and we can work on a great works together. So in our region, there's instead of a square part on the map, there's a circle part on the map, and we can contribute resources to it to build something enormous, like an international airport or a space shuttle program or an agricultural dome to farm future technologies or a solar farm so that we can get power for all of our cities for eternity. So Christian and I are working in this one city together.
Oh, you could both work on it.
So we both contribute different elements. There's no way one city can contribute all the necessary elements to it because you'll need this big cross-section of different stuff. So you'll need a bunch of pieces of one type of technology, a bunch of raw materials from another area, and different workers from this one sort of area. And because of the way the game is developed, as you play the game, you'll develop a certain style of city. You'll either build a big industrial city with smog and pollution and crime, but turning out money like nobody's business. Or you develop a really strong tourist department, and you get like a national football team in your town, and your houses are super expensive, but you have no industry. So you require workers from other towns to move in, which means you need to have really good mass transit connecting you to other cities so that workers can come in and work for you.
And are these other cities that are based within like the map that it gives you,
yep,
or is it they're all
no,
connected?
No, they're all within your region. So what you when it works best is when all the cities in the region are being played.
And you don't see those other cities. It
you
just
do
like
see
there's
those
an exit
cities.
That
no,
says this is what you get from
you
them.
You do see those other cities. You can see them now in this gameplay here. So I've got my screen up for one of my cities, and in the background here is one of Christian's cities. And that's another little
And that's
part
because
of the city.
You guys have chosen to connect them.
So we're just in the same region. So this whole map, like there's the hill line and everything. If I were to spin around, you'd be able to see, where's the spin around button? You can see there's another city up on the hill that he's built.
What I'm saying is this is because you're friends.
Yeah, well, we're in the same region, so no, you could, someone else was in our region temporarily and they left, and they would be contributing to it as well. So it can be friends that know each other, it can be just people that randomly chose to
join.
Can
you elect to make a region private between just you and him?
I don't know, probably. I could see that being possible. But the other thing is, I have four cities in this one region, so I've created a bunch of different cities, so you could be the only player in one region and work only by yourself. So you can be like, I'm going to create a slave town. I'm going to create a super popular commercial town. Uh-huh. I'm going to create a... I didn't mean slave as in like, you know, proclamation slave. I mean like industrial, like just like Detroit.
All they do is they just put out stuff
they
that
just
everybody
put out
else
stuff, and they're living in squalor. And it'll affect the rest. So he created one town called Bioshock Land, and it has the worst crime rate in our region. So I get alerts all the
Bioshock
time
Land.
that criminals from Bioshock Land have rolled into my town and are robbing my banks and my towns because he's got this terrible police ability. So I've had to rent out my police to his other city so that they'll stop bothering me within my very upstanding Texas-like city of One Horse Town.
Oh, I saw that one, and that's when the music came up. Right. I thought that was the name of the song. That's funny.
Nope. That's a good name of the song. Thanks. Yeah. So the other exciting things of it is that it definitely creates this generational... like different stages of the game without you knowing that you're in another. It doesn't say level two. It just suddenly you're now in level two of the game because the ability to grow changes like as the city grows. So early on, you can build, as opposed to other games where all you did was build roads, they were always on a grid, and you decided one of three things that were going to be in them of three different qualities. There was either commercial, residential, or industrial, and you chose whether or not they were light, medium, or heavy density, right? Mm-hmm. And that was it. And if they were light density, industrial, they made a farm. If they were heavy density, residential, they'd make an apartment building. If it was in an expensive part of the neighborhood, it would make a nice complex. If it was in a bad part of the neighborhood, it would make a tenement housing. And that's about as detailed or as thoughtful as the game would be. Now, there are several different layers of how a city will get developed, and what you do dictates how it grows. So the very lowest road you can build is a dirt road, and you just make these paths that go through your town to dirt road. Really good for connecting to water towers or power plants that are remote that shouldn't have heavy traffic. Because if you use a dirt road to connect your residentials, it'll get tore up and super trafficky because people are trying to go home. You have light, medium, and heavy regular standard roads. And then you have avenues, which are double wide lanes. And you have to destroy your old roads to make room for these avenues because they take up more space within mm-hmm. the city. So as you grow, that you'll max that tiny map out very, not very quickly, but quicker than you would before. Which is so genius because it forces you to start making choices of editing. In every other SimCity game prior to this, you kind of created something and then let it alone. That was sort of the encouragement, like build something and let it grow until it becomes a giant tower. Don't touch it. Don't demolish it. But that didn't. So all you're trying to do is like do some other edits throughout the build. And once you max out the map, the game was kind of done. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could do some other things to it and add parks or whatever.
So the growth would happen automatically once you built a sustainable system.
Yeah. So now the growth, like you start, you may max out the map and you have nothing but medium density streets. So then you start to add in higher density streets and replace some derelict buildings with parks and put schools and just like real cities, like mm-hmm. having to knock down buildings to put other
transitioning from like a town to a metropolis.
To a metropolis. And then as the game evolves even further, so in my city of One Horse Town, we're in a delicate phase shift because right now half the town is really heavy industrial because they loved working in a city with oil. But now the city's gotten so strong and has pumped out so much oil that we have built a manufacturing plant there to start researching and developing ways of transitioning oil from oil to plastics. Down the line, we'll start take the plastics and turn them into technology. So, just like real cities. You go from doing industrial, like manufacturing, eventually now the market is all in tech. So that's the direction that my city is going. But it'll take some time. I have to draw in educated people to work in the technology store, technology businesses. I have to think of ways of making the town nicer to live in without making it too hard for medium wage people to keep running all the trucks that we need all over the town.
Wow.
And on top of that is all the other, like, civic responsibilities that you have to have. Water, power.
Fire.
Waste. Yeah, all the emergency, medical, and fire response. Sewage is in there, so.
I feel like every city planner should have to have a certain aptitude score on this game.
I would agree. Yeah, but you know, and it's definitely built for fun. I think it guides you and it shows you those goals like we were talking about. Once I was like, "Oh, here's what I'm doing. I'm becoming an oil tycoon city." The game it like helped me because it was like, "Do this and it'll help kind of grow your city." And sure enough, there was a time, the last time I played it, I was doing that thing where I was pinging out at, like, I tried to build something. It was like, you don't have enough money. You can't build that. And I'd have to wait until I had enough money. And now, as you can see by my bank account, I have almost $700,000, which would get me, I can build anything in the game right now
if
I wanted to. And name it. Name a thing.
A stadium.
I don't know if I have that researched.
Is that just an effect of the game, or is it because you're an industrial town that there's so much cloudiness above it?
That is both.
Okay.
Both, yeah. The more industrial towns will look smoggier. So here's the...
Are those skyscrapers apartments or businesses?
Those are all apartments. There are more businesses down on this side over here.
What are the purple and green lines?
So now I zoomed out to the region view, and the purple lines are drawing out of my city to do some sort of exchange with other cities, and so I'm supplying them with something, mm-hmm. and then the green lines are coming in. Oh, that one has a purple both ways. It must be this sort of thing. So I'm just connected to these other cities, and this is what we're supplying and connecting with. So I own this city, and I own, that Christian owns that city, and then this city is some bozo that moved in and then left. But the downside is he had the deluxe edition, which has all these tile sets for like a British-looking town or a French-looking town, and neither Christian and I have that, so we'd have to pay money just to take over this stupid city that somebody made.
Oh, you can't just eradicate it?
Yeah, there's no way. We've seen yet. We haven't spent a lot of time trying to figure it out. So
go to war with that city and just blow them up.
Just buy them out. There's still plenty of places. Like, we can still, there's an empty
Operation
city over here.
Two Horse Freedom. Problem
Nugget,
solved.
I'm telling you, get this game and move into Nugget Plateau because no one's back there. A Prospect, Nugget Plateau, Claim Overlook.
Are these names that the game came up
with?
Yeah,
so they're auto generated and then we changed it. So I have One Horse Town. I have Christian always makes his first city REMville because he loves the REMville. So I made my first
city. And everybody
city.
Always thinks he likes dreaming.
Yep, exactly. I made Playa de Coldplay. So it just seemed appropriate to me.
Oh, man.
That was my first city.
Just out of curiosity, and tell me if we're talking too long about this. I don't mind if this becomes a two-parter.
We got to pause. We got more to talk about.
But anyway, the
he made a sound just called The Town.
Ben Affleck direct that?
Yes.
On Amazon, just curious about this, is that 1,938 one-star reviews.
Ah, yes.
101 five-star reviews.
Yeah, we got to talk. Let's talk about that next week. That's
right.
Exactly what we got to bring up.
More on that. I'm excited, but did not have the robot rock ready. That's what I'm going to be honest with you about. All right, you can send us an email to show@secondfunniespodcast.com. Give us a call at 408-228-4911. But the real thing we want everybody to do is join the conversation at facebook.com/secondfunniestpodcast or follow us on the Twitter @secondfunniest. Yes, I'm right on that. The bigger thing, though, that we want everybody to do is go on facebook.com/IWantSlyCooper in his own animated series.
Yeah!
Nailed it! Throw that a like. We're trying to make that happen. We're going to Betty White that bitch and do it upright. On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.